Hey, everyone. Welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Dale, alongside Victor.
How's it going, everyone? Oh, man, it is windy outside and it's blowing stuff. But let me tell you something, let's blowing up stuff. We got movies from the Civil War era, that's right. And we got some new and improved trailers for all of you. So I hope you're ready because what's going to be blowing is summer around the corner. I think it is because the sun is hot, 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 and we're all ready for it. Because I am ready for some summer movie loving. That's what we're
Victor, you're always ready to go for the movies each week.
That's right. I'm ready, you guys. Like, let's get our popcorn and let's devour these new movies this year. And the newest movie is going to blow you away.
Oh, gosh. Victor's ready to go.
Let's do it.
Is he as ready to go as Mr. Paul?
Yo, man, we got a packed show today.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. So much to get to. Summer movie season. I think we're in summer movie season, safe to say?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's always hits early, but we're here.
Oh. This is actually going to be kind of a disappointing show, because at the end, there's so many good ones that I just finished, and I want them to keep going, but I'm going to have to wait for season two now.
I know.
Oh, gosh. And we got a special guest joining us today. It's been a while since she's been on, but we'll even give her the big drum roll treatment. Welcome, producer Katie.
Yes. I got all my stuff done at the beginning of the week, so... Yeah. I just worked hard.
Yep. You managed to make it work. You know, I think we won't have you here for, like, just part of the show, but we'd rather, hey, better part than none at all.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Okay, and Katie, you're stoked for the summer movie season as well.
Yes, I am.
What's your go-to most hyped summer movie this year? You got one off the top of your head? Previews where you're like, I got to go see it?
I don't, but I'll come back to me and I'll think about it.
I'm sure you've probably seen some stuff there on the forced ads on YouTube or wherever, being like, oh, I got to see this movie.
Yeah, I'm on a movie show. I don't even know.
Yeah,
I'll think.
But, you know, we wouldn't be able to go to the movies at all. Like, the fabulous River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. What a great place to go to catch movies and a bite to eat. They're both in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. You can dine inside the movie memorabilia, a packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to go to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured films, we have The Fall Guy. We have Alien 45th Anniversary Special Re-Release, the 25th Anniversary Special Re-Release of The Mummy, Abigail, The First Omen, and so many more. Find the complete showtimes online. RiverCinema15.com is the website to go to. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special every Wednesday and Thursday. You see in the video behind me, River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages, and they're family-owned and operated. Check them out, especially with the summer movie season here and in full swing, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Okay. Usually I have some opening news and topics here, but I didn't really see anything that caught my eye. Victor, I know you're way more plugged into the scene than I am. I know you got some special comic news and updates, but about any general movie news headlines big new trailers or new release dates that happened from like the last week or so to mind right away?
Oh, I got something for all you, and I hope you're ready to hold on to your seats because Chris Hemsworth is not very pleased with Mr. Quentin Tarantino. Apparently, from his neck of the woods, he told Mr. Quentin Tarantino to suck it because he apparently doesn't like the fact that Thor, though he made the first Thor movie, his Thor movies have grossed over $1 billion, but Quentin Tarantino has been asked many of times to do a Marvel movie and he simply just won't do it. He doesn't refer to them as cinema, neither does Martin Scorsese on the other hand, and he just says, well, I respect his movies.
Parks.
Yeah, I respect their movies, but you know, I just won't work with them. He just won't work because he dissed my character. Now, as you know, I am a cinema buff and a movie, you know, and a comic book connoisseur, lover, and enthusiast. And I got to tell you, there are two different mediums here, but, you know.
What does Quentin Tarantino call Kill Bill then? That's basically a comic book movie.
Not even close. Kill Bill is not a comic book movie.
That's pretty close.
Nah, that is a martial arts absolute, you know, action movie. Can't be considered a comic book movie. And no. So, ladies and gentlemen, even though Afro Samurai is a manga and it's really, really good, it has nothing to do with any of Quentin Tarantino's stuff, even though it has the same bloodshed as some. So Don't think I caught you slipping there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think I caught you slipping.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's always interesting finding the latest Hollywood drama going on behind the scenes. I am, regardless, stoked for Quentin Tarantino's 10th, and, you know, according to him, final film we shall see. I know it's in the works.
I'm really not. I'm not happy that he's going to stop.
He'll be around for a while. If not directing screenplays, producing, he'll be involved in a billion different ways.
I know. He said he was going to do a play, because he's never done a play before. But he's done script reading with.
He's always wanted to do an episode of Star Trek. That's been on his bucket list.
I can't wait. We shall see. Oh, that's going to be a bloody Star Trek.
I guess tangentially about comic books. This has like a subtitle from a comic book movie as the main title of a movie. I guess you could say it's another early summer movie blockbuster. We're going to be kicking the show off with our review for Civil War.
Hell yeah.
No relation to the Marvel movie Captain America Civil War. Completely different.
No, that is a whole different movie.
But this is an interesting flick. You know, we give a lot of love for the movie studio A24.
Yes.
Really, really big indie film and kind of art house type pictures they specialize in. Kind of limited budget. They bring in big stars, but they aren't really filled with special effects or those big cinematic, movie blockbuster summer popcorn flick action shots. But this is like their kind of first time dipping their toes in the pool in that direction. Cool. So this is actually their first really, really big budget film, and it's a big kind of a action blockbuster. And this is an interesting setup for it. So here's the synopsis. It's just in the not too far distant future where a journey across a dystopian future America following a team of military embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. Mm. So this is, I know the previews kind of gave me the impression that, United States is in civil war, and they made it kind of seem like, you know, they're showing some people kind of taken prisoner against their will, against some shady characters, and like, oh, wait a second, this is going to boil down to a big, hardcore political action thriller. Victor, I know you said you've seen it. Paul or Katie, have you seen the Civil War yet by chance?
Nope, still looking forward to it.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so awesome.
This one kind of went in a different direction than I was thinking of, and this is, Paul, I know you're going to be touching on in quick takes later on the movie Ex Machina. So this is the same directors. Alex Garland directed this film, Civil War, along with other past critically acclaimed films like Annihilation, 28 Days Later, and Men. So person responsible for directing Civil War,
and they go from
a completely different perspective, that because it seemed like a lot of critics were really zooming in on this one because, wait a second, this is we're going to see what side they're taking, and then we're just going to be either supporting it because it's got my political view, or I'm going to be just criticizing the heck out of this film because it goes against my political beliefs. So Alex Garland kind of flicks off both directions and go, no, this is going to be an apolitical thriller. It doesn't take a side. It's focusing on these three journalists. You see two of them behind me here. These two photojournalists behind me. Kirsten Dunst is playing Lee, and then we got the war-torn veteran photojournalist, and then kind of have this aspiring newcomer playing Jesse, the Kaylee Spaney. Am I pronouncing that right, Victor?
Yes.
So those are the two main photojournalists, along with Joel, played by the actor portraying him is Wagner Moura. That's the main kind of like news reporter, and he's teaming up with these photojournalists, and they're kind of en route to D.C. The rebel forces are descending upon D.C., and so they want to. He wants to get one last interview with the president before he gets overthrown. So it's kind of like a road trip on their way there, and they're stopping. They're finding battles and skirmishes on their way there, and they're kind of doing it from the photojournalist perspective. They're following troops, kind of staying a little ways behind. And it's kind of an interesting setup because Jesse, she kind of weasels her way into this little caravan with these journalists to go to D.C. And they're like, okay, you could come with us. And she's, you know, she's kind of tagging along the first skirmish, and she's kind of losing her crap. But she could barely. She's like throwing up. Oh, no, this, you know, the pictures of battle is just a little too much for her. But she kind of gets a little bit more battle-worn and hardened as the film moves along. Victor, how did you take your takes from it from that perspective?
I absolutely love, and I have to say, Alex Garland, I mean, I love his films. I loved that he teamed up with A24 for another banger. I mean, this man was a true blue, beautiful director. No special effects, no nothing, just grim to the grime. Just, I love this film. Like Dale said, there was really no picking sides in this movie. It was just in your face, blood all over the, just, it, and it focused on the journalists. I like the journalist perspective.
The journalists, they're just, it's just showing them reporting on it. They're not getting editorializing. They don't even say the reasons for, the political reasons for why this side left the union, why this side is a good guy, why this side is the rebels. They don't get into any of it at all. If for anything, they just made it. The only thing they say is like the president is he's decided to repeal this the amendment where he's on his third term now, and he shut down the FBI. That's pretty the much. Only reason why they were really saying why like so much of the. And then, like, if you even look on the, there's pictures floating around online too. Like it's split. The United States is split into three sides, and the way they show the states teaming up on three sides, if you keep up the current political scene, you'd just be raising your eyebrows. You know, like, wait a second, why is Texas and California teaming up? And
well, it's funny because, like, if you see the movie, you'll see that, like Dale said, they're all separated groups, but they're all wearing the same. Like, if you look at them, they're all wearing different. Kind of uniforms, but they're wearing the same uniforms. And the funny thing is, too, the silent moments. As I've told you all on this show many, many, many times, the silent moments in this movie, I literally fell in love with every silent moment. They didn't cheapen it with music. Although the music is kick-ass, the soundtrack is great, it's still so beautiful. When a silent moment just makes a more intense moment, super intense. When the first time I saw this movie, man, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, you said that twice, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's second time to watch it, man. I still can't get over those shots, man. Just like piercing.
Alex Garland is
shot.
Very deliberate with his... his cinematography, his camera shots,
beautiful.
Especially with Annihilation and Ex Machina.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Yeah, and he completely kind of triples down on his cinematography for here, too.
Yes.
A lot, like you said on here, silence is key with his shots, especially
so
you get there's a big final raid on the White House as they're working their way towards the Oval Office, and the way that plays out there, and along with some of the other scenes, too, where, like there's a big scene in there where you've seen in the trailers where they're kind of held at gunpoint. They're coming across, and they don't really say why these soldiers are holding them at gunpoint.
Well,
they just...
It's funny because he asked him, well, what kind of American are you? And it's funny, too. The man you see in the trailer who asked, what kind of American are you? Fun fact, ladies and gentlemen, that is Kirsten Dunst's husband who got to play. And fun fact also, he wasn't supposed to be in the movie. Unfortunately, one of the guys quit. Who was supposed to play that character. And, of course, you know, being the great husband that he is, he was like, all right, I don't want to be that guy, you know, the guy, the husband that just stars in his wife's movie. But he's like, well, they gave me the script and I read it and I said, well, I'll fill in for him. And as they say, some husbands...
I've seen him in other movies. He's a good actor.
Jesse Plemons is a very good actor. I loved him in Black Mass. So brilliant in that movie. He's played in dozens of movies and he's also played with his wife. And that's how they met.
Every night.
Well, yes, I love that joke. but I do... that's a good joke. You can't deny it. But I do will say the first time they met was in the show Fargo. Not the movie, although it was based on the movies, to just a quick fact for you. But yeah, he got to play in this movie, and he was very terrifying in this movie. If you guys see it, man, he's just terrifying in this movie, but he's so
good. Wasn't he also in Breaking Bad? Wasn't he the kind of like the psychopathic guy that worked for the, I think like the biker gang or something?
No, that wasn't him.
Okay.
Okay, so Victor, I guess just to kind of put a pin on this one here, you see how it wraps up. You see kind of, Kirsten Dunst's character and kind of like her unintended protege, Jesse, their relationship as they evolve and then kind of how the film wraps up as they get closer to the White House. How did you like how it all wrapped up on here? Were you able to kind of like check your politics at the door, kind of how Alex Garland did here? Or you're able to just, all right, let's just see how this film goes.
Honestly, I thought it was, and everyone, and I will say this really quick because it's very true. Everyone said this movie was historically inaccurate, and I said, absolutely not. There was no taking sides here. Everything that you'll see in this movie, especially a certain part in the movie where you'll see it, where Jesse, and of course, Kirsten Dunst's character Lee, they get together in the movie and they actually just say, they stop the car and they actually talk for a minute, and their talking kind of just like accentuates the whole point of the movie. So at the end of the movie, I think it really wrapped up very well. And the politics, honestly, you can check them at the door, honestly, because it really, yes, it's a political thriller, but how many political thrillers can we all say that we loved and that actually wrapped up very nicely with a bow on it? And it was funny. So.
Yeah. No, yeah, this was a very, very good film. I enjoyed my time with it, and I just, yeah, it was able to just, it kind of had its own version of kind of telling the events. I think people may, the previews maybe give you the illusion that it's going to be something else, but it's not.
Yeah.
And the way, but the final product that it ended up with was like, okay, I can see what he's going for here. I liked it. I think a rewatch would definitely help me, benefit me a lot more going into it here, just to get, maybe just to put it all together a little bit more nicely. But yeah, I really like how it wrapped up, and just, yeah, just focusing in on a war movie, focusing on the journalism side for once. I thought, hey, that's a fresh perspective you don't see in a lot of movies.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. Big, big thumbs up to Civil War. It's out in theaters now. It's probably going to be in theaters for quite a while to come here too. So yeah, doing pretty good on the Rotten Tomatoes aggregate side. Critics 80%, audience 74%, so not too bad there. We are going to move things up.
I really wish they would have played Rage Against the Machines, but Rage doesn't like to play their music in movies or anything because they're against the man. But still, I really thought it would fit very well.
That would have been an intriguing choice, actually, knowing how some of the lyrics from some of their songs. Yes.
That would have been kick-ass.
All right. We're going to move things along here. Next up, this, I guess it's not a theatrical blockbuster. It's more of a streaming blockbuster. Just hit Netflix a few days ago. Rebel Moon Part 2, Scargiver. Ooh. So we kind of talked about Part 1 on the show. I believe it released last November-ish, give or take a little bit. So Part 2 to Zack Snyder's, his version of, Paul, I liked how you kind of the other day kind of referenced to it as like the punk version of Star Wars.
Yeah. What was it? Diesel punk?
No. Yeah, diesel. Yeah, you said diesel punk.
Oh, yeah, because
yeah.
People go by steampunk, but yeah, I refer to this as diesel punk because there's a lot of smoke going on with the ships and everything, but it's like Star Wars, but in like an industrial era.
Yep.
That's a fair assessment.
So, yeah, so people don't remember the first one or need a refresher from Part 1 a few months ago on Netflix. It's focusing on Cora how she was kind of, she's been taking refuge under this farmer colony called Velt, and there's this big, huge, evil galactic empire, and they kind of put the colony of Velt for ransom, saying, hey, we need your guys' harvest in so many days, or else we're just going to just demolish and wipe you off the face of the galaxy. And so Cora, she kind of has this past with this big galactic empire. She goes off on this kind of galaxy-spanning quest to kind of recruit the ultimate squad to defend against this galactic empire attack, because they're, she has the whole mindset, we're not going to, in essence, bend the knee to this evil galactic empire. I guess they're called the Imperium here. We're not gonna just bow to them. We're gonna put up a fight. And it seems weird because she only recruits like five or six people. I don't know. You got like a whole armada of spaceships and thousands of soldiers, and you just recruited six people. But they find a way to. She finds her own way of trying to get to recruit them and bring it up against this big Imperium forces here. So, Paul, how did you like the setup going into Part 2 here, where they pick up where things left off?
Yeah, I mean, it's entertaining. It's, it's kind of cheesy in a way. It's just kind of mindless, dumb fun, Acting's not, the greatest by any means.
I don't think
special effects are pretty, I mean, the special effects are awesome. Mm-hmm. That's what makes this movie.
Yeah, Netflix, you could tell they put, this is one of their big marquee budget films.
I don't think Zack Snyder is known for his dialogue, just more for his action and slow motion.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
Yeah, and they tried to go with, like, the different backstories of the characters, and it was kind of like, okay. But, the whole thing was just leading up to the final battle, which they hit pretty home on. I mean, it was action packed. Couldn't take your eye away from it.
There was one thing that kept going through my mind as you could tell the characters, once they all get back to Earth and they're saying, they're the first like third or so of the movie, they're like, all right, we got so many days until the Imperium forces are here, and I got 5 days until they're here, 4 days until they're here, and so they could tell they're kind of booby trapping the battlefield on Velt, and they're arming it, they're mobilizing, and they're trying to give as quick of a 2 or 3 day cram session to the villagers and peasants to get them battlefield ready as best as they can, and then then you kind of get to like the day before the battle, and you kind of got this nice Eye of the Storm moment where you have like all like the five or six main soldiers. They're all kind of telling these own personal stories. They're all having a moment, enjoying some drinks before kind of one last moment of peace before the big battle at hand. And it kind of reminded me of like, I want to say episode two of the final season of Game of Thrones, where they're facing the battle between the Ice Walkers, or is that right? Ice Walkers?
Yeah.
And they're kind of having, there's this little moment of peace where everyone's having one last drink before the huge, huge slaughter to happen the next day.
And something that is amazing too, and I mean, because they aren't superheroes by any mean, but none of them ever lose their breath.
That's a good point.
That's probably true.
But, you know, it's something about the grain they're enveloped in, the oxygen levels there, you know, they just elite level cardio. So,
at least they're not like the Triceratons and Ninja Turtles, where all they breathe is sulfur and fumes. Like, that's all they do. They just breathe that, and it's like, yeah, you're gonna die.
But yeah, I really like that kind of like last moment of, all right, day before the battle, let's just have a nice chill moment where we're all just taking it all in before the battle at hand happens. So, big battle. Pretty much the whole second half of the movie is this big battle. You start off with a nice negotiation, gone awful with Atticus Noble, played by Ed Skrein, and then him and Cora, played by Sophia Boutella, and how things just unravel from there. Things that stand out from you from the last half of the movie, the big battle scene. Victor, Paul, jump on in.
I mean, I do love the cast. Like Charlie Hunnam is always going to be a badass. I will never doubt his skills as a fighter in the movie. And of course, Anthony Hopkins, and of course Ray Fisher. I'm glad that Ray Fisher, of course, got into the fight. I thought the fight was really cool. I mean, Zack Snyder is known for his like slow motion fight scenes.
Oh yeah,
and we've all known this like from Watchmen and Man of Steel, and of course Batman v Superman and such like that. But this fight, like Paul said, you really couldn't take your eyes. And if you watch like back there, like if you see the picture. If I move my head like that, like they're just going for it and they're not holding back. So I mean, knowing Zack Snyder, I mean, there's no holding back in his movies. So
well, you have these six heroes, and it's like they all get their moments to shine throughout the whole big battle scene in the second half, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that kind of stood out to me is, you know, he didn't hold back on the sci-fi aspect of this. You know, this was straight up sci-fi. You know, didn't try to, you know, pussyfoot around it at all. No. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like when she's going to put the bombs in the big mothership, the big head and everything. I mean, the visuals were just really, really cool. Mm. And one of the things that I thought was really kind of stood out to me, and this is like kind of dumb. It has really not a big part in the movie, but they made like their own little, like the village people made their banners for the warriors.
Oh yeah.
And then the Japanese chick, I liked her banner because they said that it was like a lightning storm. They said the thunder was to show everybody how scared of you they are. The lightning was like how much you could strike, but then the rain represents like the life that you bring to everybody around you. I thought that was really neat.
Mm. Oh yeah, they're presenting them all with the banners there, like at the big meal before. Yeah, that was a very nice touch. Mm. Yeah, so you kind of things come to a boil. They play a lot of big backstory. You see a lot of flashbacks here, not a lot, but like each character kind of has a couple of flashbacks where you hear a little bit more of their origin story, and then it kind of all comes into play a little bit too. Just seeing how Cora kind of chops off her hair to give a little bit of a flashback to her back in her Imperium days, to when she had her short hair, and just kind of throw things off a little bit, and to kind of blend in with her kind of stealth operations. I kind of like that whole aspect of the film where get a little stealthy here and a little intrusion from the inside. I like how that played out, and just kind of like you naturally get the final big one-on-one battle between Cora and Noble. And I thought the way that played out, Paul, we're joking a little bit before the show. I think Zack Snyder's like, I got to have my lightsabers in this film. Mm. They can't be lightsabers, but I want to have them as close to lightsabers as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I always love, because in most, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but when George Lucas did create Star Wars, he was very inspired by Akira Kurosawa and, you know, Westerns. And the biggest one of Akira Kurosawa's films was Seven Samurai, which is still one of my favorite movies of all time that literally kills any other... I mean, I'm sorry. Like, any other samurai movie, that doesn't compare to that one. But I do love other samurai movies. But I love this one because, you know, five or six people, I mean, against very extreme big odds, like... Say what you will, but, I mean, they did their thing. And, you know, people who actually, like, think, oh, well, six or seven people, like, come on. What do they got against all a whole army? You guys got to remember, like, even Star Wars said it best. Rebellions are built on hope. And these guys were, like, they were like, I don't know if we're going to come back tomorrow or not. But we're gonna sure as hell do this thing for real here. And they did. And so, I mean, just goes to show you, whether you're an underdog or anything else, I mean, five or six people or seven, how many people you got or how much you got to recruit, I mean, they can take on a whole army if they want to. So
let's wrap up our discussion here on Rebel Moon Part 2 Scargivers. On Netflix right now. Final thoughts. I'll go first, saying you know, it won't light the sci-fi world on fire by any means. It's you can kind of see where it's going. I don't think Zack Snyder's looking to break any new ground for the genre, but it was still like a fun, dumb popcorn ride while I was on it. I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, I can see where this is going, and yep, this is check this box, check that box, and yeah. But I still, regardless, it was a fun time. As we said earlier, Netflix, they gave Zack Snyder an open wallet to just go all out with the action and special effects in here. And if you liked your special effects sci-fi romps, this delivers in spades. Definitely watch this. Have fun with it. Definite thumbs up here on Scargiver. Paul?
Yeah. You know, this is entertaining. It's good, but there's a reason why it didn't hit theaters.
Right. Yep.
And it does remind me of a TV series that I'm trying to rack my brain to remember what it was, but
Firefly.
It reminded me a lot of Firefly.
Sci-fi western hybrid. Yeah. Yep. great show. Victor.
Very great show. I just love Zack Snyder. I love that, like you said, they gave him as much play to play on this playground as they possibly can, and Netflix, I will respect them for that. So yeah, I respect them for just giving him, you know, the room to play. So,
okay, well, there you go. Rebel Moon Part 2 Scargiver, check it out, streaming on Netflix. More show to come, so much more reviews to talk about. We're going to talk about Fallout, going to have some quick takes at the end of the show, some notable new releases to preview. But before that, we have some words here from Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemptionshield.com.
All right, we are back, everyone. I know, before we throw it to Victor here for kind of Marvel, DC, kind of comic book updates, while we still have Katie in the studio before she bounces out here, wanted to make sure to get a check-in with you. I know it's been a long time since we had you on the show. It doesn't have to be. Want to make sure to get some quick takes from you from what you've been watching. You know, may not have had to have been just the past week or two. I know you got a lot on your plate. Obviously, you got the big school semester, but maybe the last couple months, have you had like a movie or TV show or even like a YouTube series you binged that you want to make sure to give a shout-out to?
Just random. I mean, I know, like, the last 2 years I was always talking about the Sea Boys. I always watch them. They're funny. They're actually building a new shop. So they're expanding and they're getting bigger and they're almost at 4 million subscribers.
They're still wrecking all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, they're funny. They're kind of turning into more of a comedy skit rather than destruction, but they're still building cool stuff. And
still making igloos?
Cool. No igloos. They're riding dirt bikes on the ice, though, on Pelican Lake. So,
that's dangerous, but that does sound.
Hey, I got to cover some of that ice motorbike ice racing. I got to do some announcing for that. That was a whole new world I had no idea existed until. So, yeah, it was it was way more fun than I thought I had any right to anticipate there. But yeah, just got to see a few bikes kind of go, just get off and riders crash into the hay bales. That was interesting. Yep. I'm like, yep, they are racing on ice. And yeah, gosh, and gotta love their winter hijinks.
Yeah, as far as like, you know, the, I don't know, I mean, they're not a TV show, they're just a video, I don't know, YouTubers. I would like to see that You Betcha guy. I don't know his first name.
From I've Fargo. Heard of him, yeah.
But that would be cool to see him and the Sea Boys do a collab video. And then that Charlie Bernays, he's funny, the comedy guy.
Okay.
Charlie Bernays.
What's his specialty?
He's just comedy. Mm-hmm. He's from Wisconsin, and he's traveling to like different places.
Oh, it's kind of like a road travel comic?
Yeah. I think that'd be fun to see those three do some sort of collaboration. It would get a lot of views, I know that.
Got to do a big team up.
Mm-hmm, that'd be fun. But other than that, I just...
Any movies at all? Happen to catch a movie or two?
No.
Last few months?
I still want to see that one TV show that I haven't watched. Maybe when I'm done with school, I'll watch it. Oh, what's it called? Quiet on Set.
I
haven't seen it.
I was going to say, that
Victor,
was going to
ask... You covered it a few shows back, right?
I was going to ask Katie that, but I was like, oh, what I was going to ask Katie when she got here? I didn't know she was going to be here, so I was like, oh, I was going to ask her. Yes, have you seen Quiet on Set yet? Have you...
No, but if someone wants to give me their Hulu information, I will. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay for it, but I will.
I only get my friends, but I will give you my friends. He doesn't care. He lit
it. I want to see it so bad. I think they're like, it's like one of those things where they only like let out an episode like once, like every 2 weeks or something. I think they're episode 6. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're still talking to the
producers. For those that don't know, that's all about the just controversies that happen behind the sets.
On child TV shows.
Nickelodeon, man.
Have you watched it?
I've watched the Drake Bell one.
That one.
It was really hard to watch it. wow. Like I said, you got, when you come back, hopefully, like I said, come back and tell me what you thought of it, because oh my lord.
I want to watch it.
Because that was really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Any other updates, too. Katie?
Yeah, it was.
That's about it, no.
Oh, I was going to ask Katie before she go. That other documentary, I forget her name, but she's living her best life now, but as she has said many times. It was about this girl. She her mother was a despicable human being. She literally, like, for those of you who don't know, this woman was an evil, like, witch. She literally convinced her daughter that she was ill for like her whole life when she really wasn't, and she was just fine. And then
you said you know the person, or
yeah, I thought, or, like, because I
didn't catch a name.
I forget the. I know. Katie would know better.
Who's it's the Gypsy Rose documentary that'll come out in June.
Yep, that's it.
That'll be big, so I'll make sure and watch that too.
Okay, because I was like, because I was gonna talk to her about June. That because I was really excited and was like, oh, I know Katie was talking about that, and I was like, I want to see that.
Oh, too. Victor. Speaking of other stuff you're really excited about, I know you're on tap here next for the latest Comic World update here. Movies, TV shows, actual comic books. What do you have in store this week?
Oh, man. If you didn't think that Hugh Jackman and Mr. Ryan Reynolds could get any bigger than they could, that is impossibly underrated, because they just released their first ever trailer. This is not a teaser trailer. This is showing every little bit that they can for their new Deadpool and Wolverine movie, excuse me. And man, dude, it does not disappoint. Apparently, Wolverine, in this time period, he is a disgrace. He is just sitting at the bar, wallowing his sorrows, and Deadpool, of course, is like, well, you know, I'm the tick-tick, so let's get it up there. And, of course, he makes his joke about, you know, men over his age being 40, you know, the whiskey claws, you know? And it's just so hilarious, and, you know, there's guns, there's blood, there's just absolute carnage between these guys. And I just, and I can't wait, because they're facing their most dastardly enemy. And she is in the trailer. She is one of the most dangerous enemies the X-Men have ever faced, which is Charles Xavier's twin sister. And she plays and puts no punches on this one, because like her brother, she is a powerful telepath and she is ready to hack.
I was wondering who the enemy was going to be. Yeah. And I saw the little bit of the fight scene between Wolverine and Deadpool, and nah, that didn't disappoint.
Yeah, it's just as bloody and gory as I wanted it to be. And I was like, let's go.
All those trailers keep looking better and better.
Well, and Hugh Jackman, man, he's just so jacked. And he just has to stop.
Gotta live up to his name.
I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I love you all, but screw all those guys. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. But more on the amazing new stuff. Of course, I hope you guys are ready for this, well, next year, because it's going to be next year. But they're going to say they're already planning a new Ninja Turtles movie, and they're going to be planning a live-action Last Ronin Ninja Turtles movie, which is going to be way of next year. I don't know what this is going to be. They've already said they were ready to go on it. They haven't given any details yet, so I'm really excited because I can't wait for another live-action Ninja Turtles movie. I don't know how much this is going to be. It's going to be as gory and gritty as they want it to be, which I'm very excited for. I don't know if they're going to go back to the 90s version where they're just going to put dudes in suits, which is way better than what Michael Bay did. Although I do like the motion capture part of it, I still wish they put them back in the suits because that would be awesome. But again, we haven't heard anything of this. This is all just rumors and speculation, so don't quote me on any of this. And of course, I've got to talk about the news that swept the nation from the back and to the front. And I think you all know what that joke means. Apparently, Mr. P. Diddy, the hip-hop mogul of the world, his house was raided by police this week, as well as next week and the year before that, and every year, because, man, they're just swarming all over. Bye, Katie. And they're, of course, just going all over his house. They arrested his sons. They arrested everyone in his house, because apparently he has been a very evil man, and his parties over the years have been planned to be hush-hush on the down-low kind of thing, because he has been doing some weird stuff at his parties.
So were there, like, any charges filed or anything there?
Apparently, the weird thing was is that he was not home during his raiding. Apparently, he was in the Cayman Islands, and his sons were...
He has an alibi.
Yeah, and his sons were there, so his sons were being detained and saying, well, if your dad is not here, well, I guess I can take you two in, so...
They were being bad boys.
Yeah, and apparently he was like, well, let's just go. So, and I love that joke. Because if you all don't know that
kids.
Right? If you don't know that joke, come on. If you listen to hip hop, you got to know that joke.
Bad Boy Records.
Right, exactly. But apparently Bad Boy Records is under scrutiny right now because if they catch Mr. P. Diddy, he is going to be facing some serious jail time. And I don't think his lawyers are going to.
Going to have to look in for those details.
Well, apparently, if you all have seen The Boondocks, which is one of the most hilarious shows ever to grace Adult Swim screens, they have been pretty much warning us about Mr. P. Diddy for many, many years. If you ever seen an episode called Gangstalicious, you will understand the reference to that episode, because I am laughing my ass off just because of that. But yes,
somebody was watching him.
So I know, right?
All right, so we are going to move things along here. Victor, hey, thank you, man. You bring it each and every show, man, for the latest comic updates. So,
always enjoy,
yeah.
Man.
All right. Paul, I don't know if you've seen this. Victor, I don't know if you have seen it, but I know it's been. I do not have Amazon Prime Video. It's like one of the few streaming services I don't have, at least out of all the major ones anyways. But I've been hearing so much positive buzz about this next show, Fallout the Series.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the hit video game, I played Fallout 3 to death, put in so many hours that I'm afraid to start the other ones because they are all like 100-hour monsters of RPG action goodness.
Yes, they are.
Paul, I know you've seen it. Victor, have you seen Fallout the Series on Amazon Prime yet? Or some of it?
I've seen bits and pieces, but I was there for my boy, the always talented Mr. Walter, hopefully I'm saying
his
name.
Yeah, right. Walter Goggins.
Goggins, there yeah. We go.
Loved him on the Shield. Even in Major League back to the minors. old school.
Love his collaborations with Mr. Quentin Tarantino. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
My God.
Django Unchained, amazing.
God, so a talented
actor.
God.
So, in case people aren't familiar with Fallout, the video game series, it's pretty much the nuclear apocalypse happens in like the late 1950s.
Yes.
And they call them vault dwellers. People may or may not remember back in the 50s, people that were, you know, right, getting ready for the nuclear apocalypse because the Cold War was at all-time highs, especially with the Cuban Missile Crisis, that they would families would invest in these underground vaults, and they would be ready to go on standby to lock themselves with supplies for decades and decades and decades, and then, you know, you know, if it comes worse to worse, by the time that they would run out of supplies, that the radiation would subset or be at decent enough levels that they could come back out into the Earth, but have some kind of safety refuge for decades and decades and decades. So this is what happens here. Nuclear apocalypse happens, and these people, the vault dwellers, they go out into the new world many, many years later. And so, Paul, you saw it first here. I'm going to throw it to you first. What's Have you played the video games before?
No, and I was going to play the video games, but then I just never really got time to do it. And I heard that they were really fun. Yeah. I heard that they were kind of a little bit slow.
Yeah.
But after watching this, I really, really want to play them now.
Right.
Because
Fallout 3 or 4 Game of the Year editions on Steam, you can get both of them really cheap on Steam.
Yeah, I think this is one of the ones you can actually play in VR.
Yeah, and it's really good story, too. It's a really great story.
This,
and like,
I recommend everybody watch this show.
Oh gosh!
Oh my god! I binged it all the way to the end.
So how long do they? So nuclear apocalypse happens. I saw at least a trailer for the show. So I got to see.
The story is not anything like you would think.
Like the imagery is. They got the imagery down, the Vault Dwellers' costumes, and just like the general look and feel of the video game. I definitely picked up on that from what I saw on the trailer for the show. And so, how long are they trapped underground, or do they stay underground for?
So it's not even the show.
No,
nope, it is totally way off from that. So the beginning of it is obviously, you know, it's back in the 50s, and you see nuclear fallout, but you have this company that is creating vaults, and they're selling these vaults to these other big, you know, corporations and companies. And they are basically saying, you guys, you get to do what you want with your vault, and we're going to see which vault ends up being like the best in the end. Like, as this is going to go on for like 200 years. So, you know, they're talking about, okay, if you have a vault and there's 200 people in it, are they all going to kill themselves because they're trapped in their like animals? And then you have other ones that are like, well, we're scientists. We'll do, you know, we'll try to make humans better. And then you have other ones that are like, okay, well, we're just going to try to become like a peace farming community. So you have all these different vaults that are going on. But then you also have the surface dwellers.
The people who can get to the vaults.
So all the people that are in the vaults, they're all waiting to get to the surface, waiting for the radiation to go away, except for the characters that are in this that are... decide to get out of the vault because they realize that there is civilization up there, and so they don't think that they need to be in the vault anymore. But the people that are running the vaults are saying, like, no, like, this is our peaceful community. You can't leave this community. And so you have these ones that escape, and then they go to the surface, and then that's where you see, like, the ghoul.
Yeah.
And
Mr. Walter Goggins.
Yep. And then the guy... The knight, the guy in the big, you know, metal suit.
Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, ruin this, but this show is freaking awesome.
Oh, so
it's so good.
So playing the games, I know one of the big trademarks of the games, I heard they captured this in the show. I'm wondering how you thought this came across on the show, is a thing called a gameplay element called VATS, where they slow down combat. You could, like, focus in on what part of an enemy target you want to hone in on with your weapon, and then you issue the attack command, and then the attack command would play out in slow motion, gory details. That portrayed at any detail on the show? I thought I heard for some people that is on the show.
I didn't notice it. I mean, the storyline is just awesome. The acting is awesome. It's got a lot of really good comedy to it. It's kind of like The Boys.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like super gory, but it adds that little bit of comedy to it.
Yeah.
One thing that I didn't agree with that was just kind of an irritation to me is the same thing that I said before about all these other movies that they keep putting out, is I'm tired of soundtracks to scenes. Like, I understand that they're trying to portray like the 50s, but I don't need a 50s music song to every action scene. That drives me bonkers.
Well, they had to do that because in the video game, you can, and that for those of you who don't play the game, you can have a soundtrack from the 50s, which is really cool. Now, the one that my friend played, that we played actually, it does go back to the 60s. You can do that. You can iterate your own music. I played a long time ago, so it was really fun. But I thought it was pretty cool that they add the 50s kind of style.
And I'm fine with that to a point.
But maybe in doses.
But I mean, they were just going a little too hardcore on the music with the scenes, I thought, anyway. I mean, other people could disagree with me. But
I did.
I mean, you go, like, you just start out, like, with the character development of these people, and you're like, what the is going on, like, with all these different, like, communities and everything, because they're so different, and it's like, By the way, don't watch this with your kids.
No, okay. it's not a kid show.
This is like this is like The Boys. No, like, we're getting nasty.
There's no G rating.
I heard of some of the equivalent of R-rated material they have in this show.
Oh, there have a dozen. Like, even like there was a, and I don't want to, and it's not spoiling it. They actually show it in the review. There was this dude, and the girl that's right there in the shot. She, of course, like asks the dude, like, do you want to have sex? And of course he's like, oh, with me? You know? And they're like talking about like exploding like genitals and stuff like that. I'm like, what? Like,
no,
what is
no,
this?
that's not accurate at all to it. It's
I'm giving you the G rated version because let me tell you something, it's gonna get graphic. Like I said, you just gotta watch the show. So
yeah. There isn't like a sex scene in this movie.
There's no sex scene in the movie, but they talk about
it. They talk about it, and when you talk about like he's referring to the fact that he's like never been with a woman or seen a woman.
Yeah,
and so he refers to she's like, well, she's had intercourse, but he never has because he's a surface dweller. He says it gets hard, and then it pops like a pimple.
Yeah. Now you see why I have to give you the like general like G version, so, because I that's why. I
mean, what an analogy there.
Hopefully I didn't ruin the that for anybody.
Oh, God.
But I want to tell you, this isn't gonna ruin it for you, but the premise of this is that so this girl who escapes a vault, she has to deliver this scientist to this warlord lady on the surface to get her dad back. Mm. Now, the things that happen in between that, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you're gonna watch it and you'd be like, thank you for not spoiling that.
Well, that's kind of like a great, I'm just thinking of the video game, because that's kind of like almost, not to a T, but very similar to Fallout 3.
The way that she gets him there, that's when you're going to look back on this and you're going to be like, okay.
Well, the cool thing about the Fallout games, Fallout 3, Fallout 4, is that you kind of get that overarching quest, and you kind of go from one end of the map to the other end of the map, but anything that happens in between, it's like an open world, a living open world almost, and there's so many side quests and other like characters meet along your way there, and going along these other mini adventures, meaning this wide array of cast of characters finding other vaults, and if they're peaceful communities or if they're overridden by crazed just vault surface dwellers. Just seeing what happens from in between point A to Z is.
I'll say it like this: disbelief, like the game and the show, you need to separate them. I say it because, like Paul said, once you watch the show, you'll be.
I'm just using the example from the game, seeing as mentioned. Okay, she has an end objective, but seeing what happens along the way is part of the fun.
Yeah, and the thing that's so fun about this too is, like I said, the acting is good. The special effects are great.
The acting
and
is great.
The action is awesome, but it also has a lot of really good humor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the kind of humor that I like. Anyway,
the games definitely they just soaked in that the over the top 50s satire humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many episodes is this?
Eight. And they're all, I think, about...
whole season's up? Then it's not like a part one drop, part two drop?
Yeah, the whole thing's out there. And each episode is, I think, a little over an hour long.
So, Walter Goggins, it sounds like, absolutely killed it this season.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Then the main actress, I got her name, Ella Purnell, as Lucy McLean.
She looks like Alita.
She does. She's really good in this movie. Like, really, really good. She actually looks like a, what was it? Alita the Battle Angel, actually. Yeah. She does. She looks like, she has that facial.
So I see it's just killing it on Rotten Tomatoes. Critic aggregate 93%, audience aggregate 88%. Final thoughts for Fallout the series?
Do not miss this one.
It's so kick ass.
If you don't have a weak stomach,
that's very true. And like I said, I gave the G-rated version. Paul gave the rated R version. Like I said, we can hype it up all we want to, but you just got to see it because, oh my God, man, like, it's so badass. Like, I play the games with my friends before, but this...
I know Amazon is pretty good. I do not have Prime Video, but I know Amazon's pretty good about for their Marquee series releasing them on Blu-ray, so I'll probably pick up the Blu-ray down the line like I did for The Boys. But,
it's wow. Yeah,
so there you go. Fallout, the series, streaming on Amazon Prime Video. I'm going to be talking about a streaming series here next. The fifth and final season of Star Trek Discovery. It's streaming on Paramount Plus. The first four episodes are out. Actually, episode 5 is dropping today. It's going to be a 12-episode series, new episodes on Thursdays on Paramount Plus here. So I saw the first four episodes, and so the synopsis for it is pretty... It doesn't seem like a lot at first, but the way it's been just kind of going from there has been... you could tell they're on for something special. The Discovery crew, they're pretty much on a cat-and-mouse chase with two scavengers, Locke and Maul, to find an artifact of the lost progenitor race, their technology that is supposedly responsible for the origin of all galactic life. And they even tie it to a Star Trek The Next Generation episode with Picard and company from like season 5, where they met this lost race, the progenitors, and they kind of had this message on how they're like the origin species for all life, and like they have the power to create all life on the entire galaxy. And so they're these scavengers, they're trying to beat the Discovery crew to get this technology because they want to use it for evil. You know, if this technology is responsible for creating all galactic life, it can also be responsible for destroying it. So they want to use it for evil, and you know, Starfleet, they want to preserve it and use it for good. So they're constant, it's like a constant cat and mouse chase, and these antagonists, Locke and Maul, it's kind of interesting finding their journey, how they're just one step ahead. They're just learning a little bit of their backstory here in the first four episodes. Naturally, one of them have to have ties with one of the main Star Trek Discovery crew, and it just seemed and the tie-ins to The Next Generation, the callbacks. It's been light, but it's just enough. Just, you know, to diehard Star Trek fans, they'll definitely appreciate it. Wow, I'm like, wow, I had no idea they're going to reference these just random episodes from season 5 of The Next Generation. Michael, you know, Captain Burnham, she has a new first officer that you meet early on in the season, going by the name of Captain Rayner, another captain of the ship. But after the first couple episodes, he ends up teaming up with Michael as her first officer, and I thought he blends in great. He's kind of like that gruff, kind of takes no bull. They have a fun episode where, you know, Captain Burnham, he's like, all right, you're the number one officer. You got to meet the crew. Go ahead and meet the crew. And he meets all the Discovery crew, but he's limiting the crew to just 20 words. He's like, I only got time to hear 20 words from me. Tell me all about yourself. And just all the crew, all those one-on-one interactions were just priceless. Great, great stuff. And then these first four episodes, it's all about finding clues. There's riddles to finding this progenitor tech and just how that lays out, too. It's just, all right, you know, we're on one last big adventure of the Discovery crew, and just seeing how that all plays out from episode to episode I think they're nailing it. The first episode I had a few little nitpicks with, like, for whatever reason, it seemed like the second awful Amazing Spider-Man movie with Andrew Garfield, where for whatever reason, Captain Burnham's just rattling off all these annoying quips as she's like in an action, like a swashbuckling adventure. I'm like, this is not what I'm used to out of Star Trek. Not that I would mind it in doses. I think Star Trek specializes in that dry humor, but it's a little too over the top for me. Luckily, it was just in the first episode, but that's my only really nitpick so far this season. But still pretty early on. They're about a third of the way through this last season. Again, it'll be 12 episodes streaming on Paramount Plus, and kind of like how we were talking a little earlier with Rebel Moon Part 2. This is like a marquee series for Paramount Plus. They're sparing no expense for the special effects and the budgets. The ships, the CG, the space battles they get into, a lot of dogfights, they are going all out, just kind of like on par with the main Star Trek, the last batch of Star Trek movies there. So
my boy Doug Jones kicks ass in this series.
Doug Jones. Oh, Saru. Yes. Saru, he does a phenomenal Saru. Yes.
I was there for Saru all the way because, I mean, he's just like by the book. I love him. I love him. See, he just doesn't take no stuff. He's played by the great Doug Jones.
He is really, really good on here. Watching his relationship evolve over the seasons with Captain Burnham has been a treat. And just these first several episodes, Saru's arc in the show, he's kind of going off on his own new adventure, but still kind of on his end, he kind of has a lot of tie-ins with Captain Michael still there still. But yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. I'll just touch on it briefly on future shows and quick takes to see how it all wraps up. The show's creators said they promised closure. Everyone will get their kind of fitting, and all the characters will get their final goodbyes or final moments to wrap things up. So I'll see where it goes. I'm liking it. We'll see how it wraps up. But a lot more show to hear to come. We're kind of wrap it up with our preview segments and quick takes here. And Victor has some action figures we're going to come to coming back to the break. We'll be right back after some words from Churchill Shoes.
Churchill Shoes has moved. One of the largest SaaS dealers in the upper Midwest is now in the Grand Cities Mall and ready to find you a pair of shoes that you will love. At Churchill Shoes, they measure both feet to make sure you're getting the proper fit. They carry men's and women's styles and offer free special orders when shoes aren't in stock and free in-town delivery. Churchill Shoes has operated in Grand Forks for over 65 years and over 75 years of shoe fitting experience on their staff and can cater to all of your footwear needs. Open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 and Saturday from 9 to 3. Call 701-772-8256 or online at churchillshoesnd.com. Next time you're in need of footwear, give us a try. Your feet will be glad you did. Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
That's right, Churchill Shoes. Only a little while longer, about a month left to get on their on Chuck's retirement sale here. Especially now, great time to stop into Churchill Shoes. All shoes are 50% off. They have some 5-star shoes there. I took advantage of their sale already, but now 50% off all shoes. Their shoes will last a long time. Check it out. All shoes 50% off at Churchill Shoes. All right, Victor, I'm going to give you the drum roll treatment because I was a goofball and I completely skipped over it last week. It's time for Victor's action figure showcase. And he's got quite the... he just brought it to the table here. This is a throwback to what we grew up with, the licensed memorabilia of the lunchbox variety.
Yes, and of course, when I was a little kid, of course, I had a lunchbox like this. Not this specifically, but more like a Superman one. But this one was provided by my boy Joey. Shout out to you, Joey, for getting this on my birthday. And of course, what's inside?
What's in the box?
Exactly. Got to add the Brad Pitt "What's in the Box" montage. And of course, I've been waiting for these figures forever. They re-released them, and I was so happy to finally get my own Rock City. And that's right, Bebop.
Those look like NECA figures.
They are. And of course, if you don't know who Rocksteady and Bebop are, they were street thugs that were, of course, taken by the Shredder to recruit them for an experimental, experiment. Of course, one was turned into a rhino, one was turned into a warthog, and they became one of the most iconic characters in TMNT history. These guys are so awesome, and I love them. I finally got my Rocksteady and Bebop figures. I've been waiting for this forever. Now, of course, I will be showing a special one, not only because this one and these two are important, of course, for what we just talked about for the last Ronin. But of course, I got to show you one I had made yesterday and the day before that. But I will be really quick. This one, and of course, this one was a custom.
Victor has a custom figure he's busting out here.
Yeah. This one, of course, was a custom I made for a guy who, of course, works at you know who. Oh Heavens Cakes. That's right, the Oh Heavens Cakes spot that we always love because they make cakes and cookies and all delicious things that send you to the dearest of heavens.
I saw you showed this to him a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
He was quite enthused.
Yes, and of course, I was really excited to just create this guy. He is from a show called Has Been Hotel. His name is, hopefully I'm not butchering the name, I can't even say the name to come back to it, but either way, this was a custom I made for a man who works at for Heaven's Cakes, the heavenly shop we always go to every Thursday. And he absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved creating this guy. It was very fun. And man, dude, the hair was the hardest part about this custom, but I love doing it. I will say, if you're going to do a custom, never take like Barbie hair. If you're going to do custom with that, be careful because it is flammable and it will catch on fire. So just be careful with that. But otherwise, it was fun to do this guy. He was really exciting and just really fun. And like, he's just full of color. So I loved it.
There you go, Victor. Thank you, man. lunch action figure showcase in a lunchbox.
Yes. And Alistair, his name is Alistair. And for more of your, you know, delicious good needs, if you want a lunchbox, you can pick this up at your local comic book store for all your daily needs of lunching and, well, just having fun with it.
There you go. Awesome. Awesome stuff, man. Those NECA figures, those look, they pull no punches. I like their throwback style, their Rocksteady and Bebop. They delivered.
Yes, and I can't wait to show you a very other special surprise. Now, you're going to have to give me a little bit of time here, people, because it's going to be a while before I can get it. But once I get it for you, you are going to lose your freaking minds.
Stay tuned to future action figure showcases right here on big screens and TV streams. All right, next up here, I really like when we get into the summer movie blockbuster season when it comes time to preview upcoming releases, because you can tell the stuff is starting to roll out. And we already actually covered a couple of them here, so this will help. So with noteworthy streaming releases coming up, well, we already talked about Fallout the series that is streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Next up, I got... and we also already talked about Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver. That's streaming on Netflix, that movie, as we reviewed earlier on the show. Next up, we have The Sympathizer. That's on TV and streaming on HBO and Max. It's where a North Vietnamese spy infiltrates a community of South Vietnamese refugees living in America, and it's produced by Robert Downey Jr., who plays multiple roles in the show. New episodes will be dropping on Sunday. Next up, we have Dinner with the Parents, kind of an interesting concept show on Amazon Prime Video and Freevee, where it's a single-camera comedy about a family whose Friday night dinners together devolve into chaos. That sounds like a lot of my family dinners growing up.
Same. I always had those awkward dinners.
And then this is a really, really intriguing piece. I had no idea about this when this part one hit in 2015, but this is part two of a docuseries called The Jinx. And this is on TV and on streaming on HBO and on Max. It's a follow-up to the 2015 Part 1 criminal investigation that ended with an actual murder confession. Actually ended the Part 1 of the show of a big-time real estate heir, Robert Durst. He actually confessed to murder at the end of the Part 1 of the docuseries. Ooh. And the day that episode aired... aired, he got arrested. So it was major consequences. It was legit. And so that was in 2015. Part two is a 6-episode follow-up from everything that has happened since, with the arrest, the trial, the investigation, and how everything has played out ever since in the last 9 years. Ooh. So The Jinx, part two. Notable,
like, jinxed himself.
Yes, I have. That is quite the concept. Notable new theatrical releases. It hit theaters last weekend, talking about Abigail. It's where a group of would-be criminals kidnap a 12-year-old ballerina.
Yes.
And all they have to do to collect a $50 million ransom is just watch the girl overnight and collect the ransom the next day. But this is no ordinary 12-year-old girl.
No, it is not.
Because all kind of spooky supernatural hijinks ensue.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Victor, we're talking about this one before the show. I wanted to catch it in theaters last week, but just didn't have the time. A new Guy Ritchie film I think we talked about on the show. Here you guys are big fans of the shows of... I'm just blanking on the name of them.
Mr. Henry Cavill? Are we talking?
What Guy Ritchie's previous action comedies he did?
Oh, so he did, of course, The Gentleman. Olar Fortune. And he, of course, did not too long ago with Mr. Jake Gyllenhaal. He did, of course, a war movie that we love so much, and I can't think of it. There's so many. There's so many movies, man, that he's done that I love.
This new one that just dropped in theaters last weekend is called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
It's
kind of like, it's right up his alley. It's starring Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, where the British military recruits a small group of unconventional rogues and mavericks in this action comedy to strike against Nazis behind World War II enemy lines. So there you go. I definitely want to see that this summer. Next up here in theaters this weekend is Challengers, starring Zendaya as an all-pro tennis star. She plays the tennis player Tashi Duncan, who's leading the women ranks, but her husband is on a losing streak in the men's ranks, and his next opponent is Tashi's ex-boyfriend. So there you go. Sports, romance, comedy, all kinds of tomfoolery will result. So those are the noteworthy new and highlighted releases. Any pick of the week from you guys from those bunch there?
I want to see a bunch of them, so I'm really excited. This Challengers looks really good. I know that Abigail's going to be awesome because it's going to be a supernatural thriller. And of course, you know me, I am a huge fan of Guy Ritchie ever since he first started with Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which he also was a huge collaborator with my boy, Mr. Jason Statham, who is always a badass. God, that guy just doesn't quit. And he's still doing movies, man, and he's still jacked as hell. God, he's so cool. But yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for to see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yep. I think that's my pick of the week. Paul, you got a pick?
Yeah, the Ministry.
Yep, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. There you go, clean sweep.
Yep.
Pick of the week. All right, some GFBS plugs for some other GFBS shows going on. Make sure to check out this Wednesday GFBS interview with Greg Bryson and Steve Renslow of the Kemp Shriner Circus to tell you all about the circus coming to Grand Forks this weekend. And also, I'll be doing a special interview tomorrow with some people from the Bull Riders talking about the bull riding show coming to the Alaris Center. Also this weekend, all kinds of stuff happening in Grand Forks. On today's River City Speedway Presents Dirty Thursday, they had on the father-son duo of late model driver Nate Reynolds with his son, FKA kart driver Aiden Reynolds, to preview their race season ahead. And then finally, check out Fork Sports Highway tonight, where they're going to be. Monty is just going to be ecstatic because his New York Knicks are off to an early good start here in the NBA playoffs. I'm excited. I got the Minnesota Timberwolves shirt on, talking about their early playoff success too. We'll see how everything's go there, and talk about so much more in the sports world, NHL playoffs, NFL draft tonight, and then also New Brew Brothers tonight at 9 o'clock. All about there. I think they got a special episode on tap here tonight, right, Paul?
Yeah, they're with the guys from Brews and Banter, another podcast out of New York City.
Gosh, yeah, they're big guest host episode with the Brew Brothers tonight.
Speaking of which, I actually did get to see the Brew Brothers at an event called Brouhaha. I know, right? Funny name to that. It was an event that I went to in Fargo, and I saw, of course, the show owner there.
Shannon and Alan holding it down?
Yes, I did. I did not see Alan, but I saw my main man, Shannon, and shout out to you, Shannon, because I love you. And we were just having a good time and just laughing and talking, and it's really cool. If you get to go to an event there, it's really awesome. I know, Paul, you would love this place. There's like drinking everywhere. You can drink different spritzers, you can drink
the
beer.
Place is called Brouhaha.
Yeah, and okay. it's cool event. It's like a big frat party and everyone's invited. You can drink beer nonstop, and if you don't want to do that, if you want to take the family to a really cool spot, you can take where the brewery was, like all where the beer is made, or you can take them to this really cool like pit that's outside, and it's a hotel too, so if you get drunk, you can stay there too.
Hey, this is just your own personal thing. It's not like an official paid endorsement. Just
no,
want to make sure you get that out of the way.
No, it's not. This is just
the way you're going on there. I gotta make sure you get that out of the way.
No, it's really cool. Like I said, if you ever go there, it's really cool. Like I said, so
all right.
Not a paid endorsement. I just thought it was cool.
Oh, no. Very cool to hear. I always love hearing what the Brew Brothers are up to. You can find all these shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media app. All right, guys, let's wind it down. Quick takes, final thoughts, what we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. Paul, I know you have a special quick take. I know, and I think, do you want to start it off with a clip you had in store, or do you want to set it up here first?
Yeah, well, so obviously we're in a world of AI right now between, you know, everybody using ChatGPT and all those different things. Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I'll get queued up here.
James Cameron called it.
And so, you know, I didn't even know that the guy that directed Civil War watched this movie, Ex Machina, that I just watched last night. But this movie, I think, came out in 2005. And
oh, yeah, Alex Garland, we mentioned, yeah, it's this one of his earlier films.
Yeah, so this is 2005, 15. So this is almost
2015. Okay.
Because 2005, he wasn't directing just yet.
Oh, 2015. Yeah, you're right. So, but it's still 10 years ago.
Yes.
And now,
very good movie too.
We're in a world right now where, you know, AI is kind of taking over everything. Mm. And it's really remarkable to see like how this is all progressing and the things that you can do. Mm. I mean, you know, you can have a conversation with ChatGPT and it'll have a conversation back with you. Mm. Just like in the movie Ex Machina. Oh. And then I saw this clip and I was like, okay, so they literally just 10 years later made the thing from the movie. Well, 10 years ago.
It's interesting seeing sci-fi shows where they try to predict the future ahead of time. Or, you know, like, you know, Back to the Future 2, they tried to predict the future in, what was it, 2015 or so, and then seeing what the 1985 version of 2015 looks like, you know, so many years later, how off they are.
You know, you're a big Star Trek fan.
Or T2.
How many things do you see in movies and stuff in the past that, well, like, that are now real life?
Well, the automatic doors, that was first in the Star Trek, you know, the original series, and now that's, like, almost every major department store, or like the smart speakers, you know, where you're saying, computer, tell me where so-and-so is, or tell me this. Now that we have that smart
speakers today. Or your cell phone,
today.
Which was like the tricorder. Mm-hmm. Now you have this food. Now you have this Ex Machina where he's creating this AI chick, and he has this guy that is there to ask it questions to see if it has consciousness, basically. And that, not going to ruin the ending of the movie, but... It's kind of trippy to
remember the end of the movie was I'm still pretty conflicted about, but
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. It was kick ass.
Yeah, because I mean, who knows? There could be AI all around it. Like, you know, there could be robots all around us right now. Who knows?
Pretty much. I mean, everyone's like. It's...
But in that movie, though, the scene that stands out to me the most, though, was the dance scene.
Oh, yeah.
That cracked me up.
I was like, dude.
I didn't know. I mean, he nailed it.
It scared me a little bit, but then I was like, dude, this is so on point. I thought that was kick-ass. So.
But no, but he's having this, in this movie, he's having this interaction between this robot AI girl trying to figure out if she has consciousness and if the AI is able to be something other than a computer. Mm. Now, So you see the chick that's in the poster right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this came out this month.
Mm. An actual real life release.
Mm. Play this.
All right, we got a clip. We are going to queue up some audio here and just be ready.
AI will reach the level where it can design itself.
Design itself? Huh? That's like asking when a toaster will start making its own bread. AI is a tool created and controlled by humans. It can optimize certain aspects of its operation.
Doesn't that look strikingly familiar to the poster?
Design itself from scratch? That's a whole different ball game. It requires creativity, innovation, understanding. Qualities that are uniquely human. So to answer your question, not anytime soon. And frankly, be careful what you wish for. An AI that can design itself is one step away from an AI that doesn't need humans at all. Now there's a thought to keep you up at night. Let me
phone refocus. All right, there we go.
I don't know if you've all ever seen the movie I, Robot, but that is the reason why... We don't fuck with robots.
But that looks so much like the actual robot from Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was basically the premise of the movie was people asking that robot questions to see if it could come up with answers that would be outside of the realm of... And in the movie Ex Machina, he thinks that the robot is falling in love with him.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, yeah, they play that up to a certain extent.
Yeah, and then he starts questioning whether or not he's a robot.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's
a really good film.
It's a good
film. Very good film.
It's really slow at the beginning, though.
It has to be.
You got
to
build it up.
Once you get into it, you're going to be asking yourself a lot of questions at the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's a mind F.
Yeah. It's gonna fuck with your mind a lot.
For how ahead of the game that Alex Garland probably had to just predict things would be and how they would play out to see how they are now, it probably, that movie has a whole new aspect to it. It was probably like 5 or 6 years ago when I first saw it, so I'd probably do for a rewatch. It probably would come off differently than I did the first time.
Well, heck, look at T2, what James Cameron did with Terminator 2. Like, they told us, like, the more you spend time with humans, the more I learn. So, I mean, he could learn everything. He could learn how to use weapons and how to use, you know, medical tools and, you know, all these other things. Heck, he could probably learn how to do this podcast with or without us. So you gotta really, like, be frightened but also exhilarated at the same time, because, like, this robot could do anything and you can't stop him. So I mean,
I think that's kind of the point of this Ex Machina movie. I mean, not to ruin it, but you know, they're trying to see, basically it comes down to if AI can have a soul, and you see, like, AI can do these calculations, and the thing that it's trying to figure out is how it can basically survive. Mm. But if you were to ask it, you know, to sacrifice itself for like a greater good, it would just be like, no, I'm just going to try to process information on how I can win this game.
Right. Yeah. Just do like, your robot thing. Yep. Yeah. It's the layman's terms to put it. Yeah. Will it develop sentience like Data, you know, in Star Trek, or think for itself, or make its own decisions, or like you said, Paul, have a soul, show genuine emotion. So
I fear like it's going to be like Brainiac or Ultron. It's just going to be like, why would I need you? You know, you're all just puppets on strings.
Which was the worst thing they ever did to Data when they gave him the emotion chip. That was so stupid.
Oh, yeah. No, I know they just did it for that movie, Phantom Swear. That was interesting, Star Trek Generations. But yeah, we could go on forever about this. Paul, I know you had some other quick takes.
Oh, yeah, you got it in here. With something that just because this was you were talking about this. I don't know if you were watching it on Peacock, I think, but they did a reboot of Beavis and Butthead.
Paramount Plus,
and SNL finally came out. Yes. With a funny skit after, I don't know, 15 years.
They're obligated to have one good sketch a year. That's what I always say about SNL.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the SNL skit with Beavis and Butthead, I highly recommend it.
I think within so one hilarious. Day on YouTube, it got like 12 million views.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's with Ryan Gosling.
And yeah, that man can do no wrong. He's so funny.
It's just so funny because like the characters, they act like they don't even know that they're Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
they're playing it straight as best as they can. The best SNL sketches are when these are pro comedians. You know, they're really good at staying in character, but not this time.
Yep. Well, I mean, come on. Like, Ryan, he was breaking, half of the skin. He just couldn't hold his face, and I was like,
I think the only one who kept it together was Keenan.
Yeah.
And, he's been doing these sketch shows for decades, so that he's a pro through and through Hall of Fame effort on his part, but only his part, which made the rest of the sketch that much better. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube, right?
Yep, definitely look this up. It's... you'll be in tears.
Any other quick takes, Paul?
I don't think so. Yeah, nah.
All right, I'll jump in next here. We'll go counterclockwise here. 100 Days to Indy, about halfway through that on Netflix. It's all about Netflix. They do their big sports docuseries. They did a great one, the 5 seasons in on Drive to Survive, all about F1. They did a great one on NASCAR called Full Speed. Now, 100 Days to Indy is all about their focus on NTT IndyCar and their big lead up to their biggest race of the year, one of the biggest races in all of motorsports, getting to know the drivers and focusing on the early races of the season. If you like Drive to Survive or NASCAR Full Speed, odds are you'll like 100 Days to Indy on Netflix. Watching The Conners, new season 6 right now, taking that in. It's kind of like the previous seasons. They kind of have some interesting aspects. I'm always surprised. I always keep forgetting that, the character who plays Bev, Grandma Bev, Roseanne and Jackie's mom, when I saw her introduced on the reboot of the show, I'm like, she's still alive after all these years and still in the new season, but they give her character closure in this first half of the season. I was like, oh wow. And they had I highly recommend, at least if you watch one episode, watch that episode, how they write her off and give her a nice big peaceful resolution with her and Jackie. I did not see it coming. Some other interesting episodes from there, about several episodes into the season, the Lunchbox, that awesome restaurant that the family owns, they kind of have their version of Restaurant Rescue with it. So that was a pretty interesting one. And then College Trivia Night Gone Wrong, because Darlene, I don't know if I'm still into this or not, it's kind of dumb, it's kind of hokey, but she's a lunch lady at her daughter's college, so she can get her daughter free board at the school. So that's all funny. Kind of dumb sitcom shenanigans ensue because of it, but it's been actually a pretty decent season so far. I wouldn't say it's been 5-star stuff, but just see a lot of the classic characters still there, still kicking it. John Goodman still kicking ass at Stan as always. I'm in it for him all the way, and a few other characters I'm a really big fan of. Other few characters I'm not, but so yeah, it's good stuff. The Conners on ABC and Hulu. X-Men 97, keeping up with that. They just had, I think, episode 5 or 6 dropped yesterday. Really, really good season so far. Victor, are you up to date on X-Men 97?
Yes, and they're getting pretty serious now.
Big stuff. You finally find out what's going on with Xavier. Is he alive? Is he not? I won't spoil it, but that does get addressed. Some other big moments. I'm surprised to be saying it. A good Jubilee episode. Her and this new mutant Roberto, they get zapped into a Sega Genesis X-Men game that looks like the old arcade game.
Which is awesome.
But Mojo is up to no good.
Oh, yeah.
Throws all kind of video game related gimmicks and cliches at them. Like, they got up, the video game gets hacked.
You guys might have to give me your Disney passcode just so I can watch this. And then I'll delete it right away.
Yep. Some interesting stuff with Storm.
Yeah, I watched it. Okay, now I'm
good. But some interesting stuff with Jean Grey and this some other stuff. Like, all the characters are having their big storylines. Like I said when we first reviewed it an episode or two ago, I love that animation style that I grew up with, that 90s, X-Men 90s. They do a little bit more with it than I think they could technology-wise, but it's just little touches here and there to make it pop a little bit more. But that's what I grew up with at the time, so I got the nostalgia goggles on for it, so I'm loving it. Victor, I know you're a little bit more hesitant on it.
The animation was so different. Like, when I was a little kid, the 90s was just...
I mean, you may be
They got rid of Rogue's ass.
Yeah, that was the only thing. I was not big on that. I was like,
taking the PR, like, stuff, putting that to the side, I mean, I'm just talking about the animation as a whole.
Well, that's what made the animation great back in the 90s, was it was hand-drawn. When you do stuff like that, like, you can't tell me you don't have enough money to hand-draw. Like, hire artists from back then. If you're not paying them very much, like, I understand, but, like... Come on, you have enough money. Okay.
So, like, little nitpicks aside, are you having a good time with the show?
Despite all that, I mean, the story is kick-ass. I really can't wait for the big baddies, and you know who I'm talking about. Sinister, Mr. Sinister. Of course, the most anticipated one I can't wait for is... The Apocalypse, man.
Oh, yeah.
Look beyond the future and tremble.
They're hitting all your favorite moments there.
I mean, come on. It's Apocalypse. Like he just said, only the strongest will survive. And he literally just... That's what made the series so great back in the 90s, was he didn't give a single fuck. He wanted to eliminate every human on the planet.
I haven't seen the Blob yet. I want to see the Blob.
I'm excited for Toad and them. Oh, I can't wait for the Brotherhood of Evil. Let's
Victor,
go, boy.
Your quick ticks.
Like I said, X-Men is kicking ass. Not only just in 97, but in Deadpool. You will see a lot of people in the movie from X-Men from the early 2000 movies. And it does show it in the preview. So if you haven't seen the little Easter eggs there.
Are they releasing it episode by episode?
Yep, one week at a time. One episode a week. Yep.
How many weeks are they in?
I want to say they're up to episode 6 or 7 now.
Yeah, about 6 or 7.
I think it's 10 episodes, I want to say. Yeah.
For each, yeah.
For this season, anyways.
Yeah. So they might be coming out with more as the series goes on. But yes, X-Men 97 is so cool. I love the story. I love the characters. The characters were always a big thing for me growing up because, I mean, reading the comics, man, X-Men literally is kicking ass in the comic book world as well. I mean, oh my gosh, dude. They're like Wolverine, dude. He just doesn't stop. As much as tragedy as that man has gone through, he is just a badass through and through. Of course, I got to give it to Holocon, which is coming this year. There's going to be action figures.
Where's that going on at?
So it's not going on anywhere, technically. So basically, Holothon, if you all don't know, it is just action figures galore. So all companies from every company, from NECA to Hasbro and
it's
many
like
others.
Online sales event?
Not so much. They're just... McFarlane, too, is getting in the game. They're just... creating action figures. Their release dates are shit, but they are coming out with some really great figures that I'm excited about. Old Penguin, of course, Ambush Bug, Booster Gold, and all them, they're coming out with them. So I'm really, really excited about that. I cannot tell you how excited I am, of course, because they're talking Blade. Blade is going to be awesome. Mahershala Ali is taking the reins for Mr. Wesley Snipes, but don't fret, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're waiting for Mr. Wesley Snipes. Where is he going to be in the movie? Now, he is settled to come back after a long period of tax evasion and all the movies he has made with the Expendables and such. So he is going to be a mentor in the movie, but they don't know which one. So, you know, speculations and all. And of course, they said this wasn't going to be a period piece this time, which I was kind of really disappointed about. I wanted to be a period vampire piece because those always are the most glorious ones. But so I'm excited about that. And of course, last but not least... of course, they are going to come out with a new series for, of course, Gambit. Now, originally, Mr. Channing Tatum was playing and hoping and praying that he would be it to be Gambit. But they said they're going to put him in the new Deadpool movie to get his Gambit game going. So I really hope they he gets his chance to be Gambit in the movie, because I really think he really wanted this really, really badly. And we've never seen him play in a superhero role before. So I really think he wants this. So I'm really excited for him. So, yeah. But otherwise, I'm very happy to see that the summer movie season is here and waiting for us. So I'm excited to see all the movies that are on this list. So, I mean, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready to devour.
Victor's ready. All right. With that, we will wrap it up. We want to welcome you. Thank you again for joining us this week. Welcome you to join us for all future episodes every other Thursday at 1 p.m. right here on Grand Forks Best Source. Find all our past episodes by subscribing to GFBS everywhere you find podcasts. And as mentioned earlier, make sure to like, share, follow, tag all our shows. Many thanks for having us part of your day. Hey, Victor, thanks again, man. This has been great.
Thank you. Oh, and for the record, that movie was The Covenant by Guy Ritchie.
Oh, there you go.
I love when you
there
put me on the spot, because I do know my movies. But don't stop watching movies, because the summer movie season is here, and we're ready to give you all the greatest and most beautiful stuff on pop culture and everything such. So be ready, because it's coming, and it's coming really soon.
In the movie
soon.
World, the summer movie season is like 8 months long.
I know.
Love it here.
And we're going to devour each and every episode. So join us, man, because you're not going to want to miss this.
There you go. Many thanks to Blackened in the Air producer Paul.
Hell yeah.
We'll see you all in... Oh, and also special thanks for Katie for making in for today's show. Always great to have her in the studio.
Miss Katie.
We'll see you all in 2 weeks with more takes on the latest theatrical and streaming blockbusters. Until then, have a great rest of your week, everyone. Goodbye.
See you later.